builders and masons, and to buy timber and huge stones to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered unto their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan to read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I certainly again thank you for the word of God, the privilege, Father, that we have to have this wonderful, precious, perfect word of God Almighty. Thank you for this portion of it that we're going to be looking at today. And Father, once again, I certainly as a preacher, I need your power and I need your wisdom. And Lord, I just need everything from you. And I ask you, Lord, to give me clarity of thought and mind and speech this morning. Father, I ask you, Lord, to use this message to help us to love you more, to be better for you than we've ever been. Lord, if there's any here unsaved, that they might come to know Christ. Whatever the need of every heart, we just simply pray your will be done, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning which I've entitled, When the Book is Found. When the book is found. We have a story here, of course, Josiah, the 8-year-old who took over the kingship, and he began to have some work done on the temple. The temple was in disarray. There was, the Bible says, in the portion that we talked about there, there was breaches, in other words, broken places, broken areas of the temple that need to be fixed. And so they began to get the money that was found there that usually was brought in for the repair of the temple. And they began to distribute that. And in their getting all of these things together, getting the money together, going through the temple, they found a copy of the law. They found the book, the Word of God. And it's kind of interesting because I remember a day back when I found the Bible, the Word of God. You say, Brother Ross, what'd you do? Just find a copy of it somewhere? No, I've always had copies of the Bible, the Word of God. I remember as a boy, I played basketball when I was a young boy, and I used to sometimes, not understanding the concept of true concept of the Bible, sometimes I would get the Bible down before we went out to play a basketball game, and I would read it, and I would pray, and I would ask God to help us win the basketball game. That was how really naive and really what I lack of understanding of God and His Word. But there was something special about that Bible. It laid there on a shelf in our home. My mother would get it down and read it. My dad once in a while would get it down and read it. Didn't read it as much as Mom did, but Mom would get it down and read it. And we just had one copy of the Bible until some of us boys was given a testament from church. Somebody give us a testament, I think, as I remember. I still have that, as I remember. But we didn't have Bibles like everybody does today. I mean, I've got all kinds of Bibles. I'm sure you probably do, too. You probably got more than just one Bible. But we had one Bible there, and we'd get it down. I'd get it down once in a while, thinking that if I would just read a little from that Bible, that surely God would come and help me. And that's how, as I say, very naive was I, but I had a very lacking of understanding of God. I wasn't saved in those days, but there was a desire. There was something there. I had a reverence for God, and I had a reverence for the Bible. I didn't understand it all, but I had a reverence for it. But in 1966, when I was 26 years of age, my wife and I began to go to a little church over in north of Brazil called Rock Run Baptist Church. And for the first time in my life, I began truly to begin to hear the Bible preached. Now, I'm not going to say back when I was a younger boy, maybe I just didn't understand. Maybe in the church I was at, maybe it was me, and maybe I didn't hear like I should have heard. But there's many things when I was 26 years of age that I began to hear that I'd never heard before. And that wonderful message of the gospel message that Jesus Christ loved this old fellow so much that he had died on a cross for me. I began to understand that for the first time in my life. I didn't know that that was what was needed. But in 1966, I understood for the first time. I found the Bible. I found the Word of God. In other words, I began to understand the Word of God and what he had done for me. You know, the Bible can be hid. You can have dozens of them in your house, and they can be hid. Because you don't understand what the Bible is saying. It can just be something that is there, as it was for me, some trophy that was brought down once in a while and looked at and maybe the dust wiped off of it and read a little bit, hoping you'd find just a little bit of help for that personal need at that time. Not understanding that God was there all the time, wanting to help me and wanting to give me eternal life and did love me and all of those things. I didn't understand those things. And I know that there's multitudes of people today who are in the same situation. They look at the Bible and they say, yeah, that's the Bible. That's God's Word. But they've never truly heard its message. And what we find is it gets hid under so many things. And it was hid under a lot of things in my life. It's just in my personal life and the way I was and the things I was seeking for was not truly what was in the Bible. It was just something that he could help me with personally. But it's the other way around. God does want to help me, but it's got to be his way. It can't be man's way. And I found out in 1966 that Jesus Christ did love me so much, and he died on the cross of Calvary for me, that he loved me that much, that he died and was buried and rose again, and he wanted to give me eternal life. And that was a marvelous, marvelous day in my life, because I truly, for the first time, understood the message of the Bible. You see, and that's what God wants us to do, because it can become so hid. You know, the devil is so good. The Bible tells us that the gospel message is hid to those that are lost. The devil blinds the eyes of them that are lost. And so I'm saying, thank God there was a day when God opened my eyes to the truth of God's Word. Now, we find in this story, of course, that they found the book in the temple. They found it in the place where basically it ought to be, but it had gotten covered up with so many other things. I believe if I would look back, you could almost imagine here a Bible sitting over, and of course it was the law at that time. It was what the part of the Bible that wasn't completed. New Testament wasn't written, but it was the law of God, God's book, his word. And I can almost imagine it being set over in a corner somewhere and people ignoring it for quite a while, and pretty soon things beginning to get stacked on top of it. And knowing the Jews, as you will if you read your Bible, you'll find out that the Jews had a lot of traditions. It isn't long traditions begin to stack on top of the Bible, the Word of God, and we begin to do things because there are tradition, not because the Bible says so. That's one of the most dangerous things, even for Christians today. You say, Brother Ross, that was Jews. They had all these traditions. No, no, no. America has those traditions too. And churches in America have those traditions too. And they're stacked on top of the Bible, the Word of God. And there's multitudes of little traditions they've got conjured up in their mind and in their heart that has nothing to do with what God says the way things ought to be. That's like in salvation. There are so many little traditions that spread around through this country today that, oh yeah, I know, if I gotta get saved, yeah, I know that, and then I gotta work to keep saved, and then I gotta be baptized, because baptism is what really washes my sins away. That's traditions. That's false doctrine. It is not of God. That's not what the Bible says. What I'm just simply saying to you is, let's get back to the Bible. I preach that constantly. I want to continue to preach it. 1998, I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church back to the Bible. See, and you say, well, have we gotten away? I don't know, hope not, but I want to say let's get back to the Bible. Let's just make sure we get back to the Word of God, you see, because traditions can begin to program out the Word of God. It can begin to cover up God's Word. I still believe in a powerful Word of God, powerful, sweet, precious Holy Spirit that can convict people of sin and bring them unto Christ. I still believe in that. And I'm going to always believe in it. I don't believe we have to go out here like the world and act like the world to bring people to Christ. I believe we need to get the Bible out and preach the Word of God. And I believe if they won't come to Christ through the Bible, through the preaching of the Word of God, they're not going to come to Him, period. It's through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit of God, that empowers and convicts of righteousness and sin and righteousness and judgment. So I'm simply saying to us, we've got to be careful. The Jews also were a group of people who not only had traditions, but they added thousands of little regulations that they had to the Word of God. And again, I say to you, we've got our little regulations. We've got to be very careful about adding regulations to the Word of God. We've just got to remember to get back to the very basics of the Bible, what God says, the way a person's supposed to be saved and the way we're supposed to live. There's a lot of things that'll cover up the Bible. I'm going to take you back to the book of Matthew for just a few moments, the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew 13, I want to read to you a few verses of Scripture. It's out of a parable that the Lord Jesus gave, and I'm just going to start reading in verse number 18. He says, this is Matthew 13, verse 18, "Hear you therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anoint with joy receive it." Now going back up in verse number 19, you notice he talks about they heard the word of God of the kingdom, and they understood it not. Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Many, many times the word of God is sown. It's sown through preaching of the Word of God. It's sowing through personal witnesses. It's sowing through tracts given to people to read. It's sowing through Sunday school classes and all kinds of opportunities to put forth the Word of God. And if we're not very careful when that Word of God is taught, preached, read, whatever it might be, it isn't very long. Here comes old Satan along and plucks that seed that has been planted. How many times have you and I went out those doors after a preaching service, and all at once, within 5 minutes after we've been out of that door, we're thinking about everything else besides that message? Now, if that message was from God, should not we ponder on it? Should not we think about it? Should not we give it thought? Should not we do something about what has been said, what has been preached, what has been taught? Should not we do that? And it seems like old Satan comes along and plucks that seed immediately, and it's gone, and we're on our way doing the very way we've been doing all along. There's something very wrong with that. So Satan is very, very powerful in that. And he wants to just pluck away that which has been sown, the Word of God. Now listen to what he says. "But he that receiveth the seed into stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, anointing with joy, receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, by and by he is offended." Now we have the situation where the Word of God, it did not take root. In other words, it was there, it did not take root, and so it was in stony places, and it was, and pretty soon it just died up. I've seen folk who made a decision, they're just going to go to church, they're just going to do right, they're just going to do this, and they'll come for just maybe two or three Sundays, and then it isn't long, you don't see them anymore. And they've heard the Word of God, they've heard what they should do, and pretty soon they're gone, they're out, and they're in stony places, and the root just never did take hold. I'm just simply saying to you folks, we got to be very careful. Satan is so deceptive. He wants to take that Word of God any way he can get rid of it. But now listen, the next thing is what I really wanted to get to. Listen to what he says. "He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." You notice here he talks about this Word of God that has been sown. And listen to what he says that it is that chokes out the Word of God. In other words, it covers it up over here in the corner. It's hid. In other words, he says the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. The cares of this world. Satan has got most people in this old country today all caught up in the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. When we have a president of the United States, I am not condemning the man. I don't know what is right and wrong. I wasn't there. But I want to say something to you. There is one thing, if you will listen to the American people, and that's who I'm concerned about. If you will listen to the American people, you will find out that they're only concerned about with the economics. Things are going well. Whatever he does doesn't make any difference. That's their whole concern. It does make a difference. Morality does make a difference. And God has brought down nation after nation because of immorality. So I'm saying to you, what is American people saying? American people are saying, we don't care about morality. We're more interested in our pocketbooks. As long as the economic is good and everything is going well, that's what he's talking about, the deceitfulness of riches. The cares of this world. And it plucks away that Word of God. It covers it up, the Word of God. I'm simply saying to you, folks, we got to be careful because right here in America, right here in Blessed Old Baptist Church, old Satan tries those very same things. He wants you more concerned in the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches than he does with the Word of God. So I'm saying to you, there's all kinds of things that can cover up the Word of God. I'm going to take you over to the book of Ezekiel. Just for a few moments, please. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 33. There's two things here. We won't spend a lot of time on it. But there's two things here in the way that people had received the Bible, the Word of God, and we have to be very careful of that we are going to do just exactly like they did. Now, in the book of Ezekiel, 33rd chapter, I'm going to start reading verse number 30. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. Verse number 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the house, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they came unto thee as a people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear the words, but they will not do them. But with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shalt they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now here's a group of people. And again, you say, Brother Ross, that was in the Old Testament. I believe it's just as new today as it was then. If you'll notice, this was a group of people who would come to the house of God. They would listen to the Word of God. I mean, they would even say it was a lovely song. They would go out and say, my, what a wonderful message. How good it was. My, wasn't that good? Oh, thank you for that message. And it says, though, but they would not do it. Now, folks, the message from God's Word is designed to cause us to change our life, to be different than we was. If we're unsaved, it's there to cause us to receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If we are saved, if the Word of God is there to cause us to get our life straight, we'll be spiritual people, we'll love God, we'll get rid of things out of our life that are wrong, that's what it's designed to do. But God says in this day there was a people, oh, they came to church. Oh, yes, they did. They listened to it and they even bragged on it. But they would not do it. That's dangerous. You see, the Bible is God's Word and it is to be applied. Go with me now to the book of Jeremiah, please. Jeremiah, 6th chapter. I won't read very many words, but here is another type of people that God warns about in His Word. If you look at Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, the 15th verse, He says, Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? I said 6th chapter, 15th verse. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall at that time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Down in verse number 19, "Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon the people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it." Now here is another type of people. These people won't even come and hear the word of God. They don't want anything to do with it. I mean, right off, these other people we talked about was those who act like they was listening. They act like it was all right, and they was going, but they wouldn't do it. These people right out said, "We are not going to do it. Just absolutely not going to do it." I mean, they rejected the Bible, the Word of God. Again, I'm saying to you, say, "Brother Ross, that was back in Jeremiah." No, that's in 1998. That's in 1998. All you need to do is get around and visit a little bit if you don't believe it. You need to get around and visit just a little bit and realize that there is just people out there who absolutely have no intention whatsoever of listening to the Bible, the Word of God. And they are not about to do it. Now you say, "Yes, Brother Ross, that's the loss." No, there's even those inside the church nowadays. Absolutely hear the Bible, the Word of God preached. They know what it says and absolutely reject it and say, "I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to walk in that way." God is calling His people back to the old paths. And those old paths is the Bible, God's Word. He's calling us back to that. And multitudes of even Christians today are saying, "I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to do it." It's being done all over. You know what that takes? That takes a hard heart to do that. You have to get really hardened in your heart to face the Bible and say, "I am not going to do that." I mean, that takes a very difficult, hard heart. Amen? So I'm saying to you, we've got to be very careful. You see, the Bible talks about, and I won't spend time on this, won't turn there, but the Bible talks about over in the book of Amos about a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. It said, no, not a famine of drink or not a famine of food, but a famine of the hearing of the Word of God. Now, I believe in its context, if you read that, I believe it said they went out and searched for it. They sought places for it. I believe he's talking about, basically, it won't be preached. But the other thought on that is still there. Not only will it not be preached, but there's also, when it is preached, people will not hear it. And there's a big famine of that going on right now. I mean, they refuse to hear it. God knocks at their door, knocks at their door, knocks at their door, but they just refuse to hear it. Now, why was the book lost? Why was this Bible, God's Word, why was it lost? All kinds of things could be said probably about that, but if you'll just go with me to the 21st chapter of 2 Kings, back near our text, only in the 21st chapter, let me read to you. In verse number 1, Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. This is in 2 Kings 21. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He reared up altars for Baal, and he made groves as did Ahab king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. Now, he's not talking about God there. He's talking about the stars and the moon and sun and all of those kind of things. And he said, and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord said, "In Jerusalem will I put my name." He built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observed times and used enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. And he wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all these tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever." See, simply the reason the book, the Bible, was lost in the temple was they had just forgot God and put him away. Turn to other idols. You say, "Brother Ross, has that happened today?" Yes. Let me tell you what will happen when the book is forgotten. You won't read it anymore. You won't read it. You won't study it as the Word of God commands. See, God doesn't just command us to read. He commands us to study. Study to show thyself approved. So the Bible is forgotten in our life. Not only that, when we do read it and when we do study it, it's not applied. Isn't the Bible to be applied? Folks, help me. Is it to be applied? Or is it just to be read and studied and then forgotten? No, no, no. It is to be applied, you see. And then also we find that multitudes, once they do read it, don't really believe it. No, they really, well, they say they're Bible believers, but they don't really believe it. You see, if we really believe the book, we just get into it and say, you know, that's what God said. That's the way it is. And that's the way it's got to be in our life, you see. And then, of course, it's not accepted as absolute. You see, we're told today there is no absolutes. I am holding in my hand the absolute. It is the Bible, the Word of God. And old humanism tells us, no, there's no absolutes. It's whatever you think, you come up with, your ideas, that's all right. No, no, no. It's what God says. And His Word is absolute. Amen? It is true. Whatever He says in it is absolutely true. You see, that's the problem over in the book of Romans, the first chapter. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and God gave them over to reprobate minds. You see, we're living in a time when people just do not want God to interfere in their life. I was thinking about a person the other day that accepted Christ as their Savior. They said they did. And absolutely wants no change in their life whatsoever. Folks, listen. If you want God to be your Savior, you're inviting Him in to take control of your life. That's what His desire is. That's what He is to do. That's what He desires to do and wants to do and should be allowed to do. Those things don't save you. You get saved when you put your faith and trust in Christ. But let me say to you, when we get saved, we ought to make Him the Lord of our life. And He ought to be the Lord of our life, you see. So I'm simply saying to you, we just got to get back to the Bible, realize this is the Word of God. This is what God says, and whatever it says is right, and whatever it says is true, and that's the way God wants us to live. Now, you see what happened was the book was lost when there was prosperity in the land. Can I just say something again? Folks, beware of prosperity. Prosperity will cause your hearts to be turned from God if you don't be careful. It becomes so easy to begin to depend upon those things that God has supposedly blessed you with materially. Israel is a firm example of this over and over. When they began to be blessed, all at once their hearts began to turn away from God. Now, if God has blessed you materially, give you prosperity, thank God for that, but do not ever let it turn your heart from God. We'll be like that person who was building new barns and tearing down his old ones, building new barns and eating and drinking and being merry, and he thought he had it all made, and yet God said, today thy soul is required of thee. And multitudes today are constantly worried, constantly about simply material things. Prosperity. In other words, our country is going great because of the prosperity in our country. But let me just give you a secret. Our country is not doing great. The reason is because it's going down morally and spiritually every day we live. And there's going to come a day when that's all going to blow up. I'm simply saying to you, prosperity is not the most important thing. Material prosperity is not the most important thing. Spiritual prosperity is the most important thing. Our spiritual hearts, our spiritual souls, that's more important than all of these other things. And that's what happened here. And because of that, then there became disobedience of Israel. When you get away from the Bible, you get the Bible out of your heart, you don't begin to read the Bible, you don't study the Bible, all at once you'll begin to disobey the Bible. You'll walk away from the Bible. In fact, you won't even like listening to it. No, you'll get all puffed up. You're best not to listen to it. You won't read it. You won't study it. You're all proud. Amen? I'm just simply saying to you folks, you've got to get the Bible. You've got to believe it. It is God's Word. What He says is true. You see, we've got to take that and just say, that's the way it is. It's God's Word, and that's what we've got to do. And then, of course, when that happens, in a time of plenty, if you don't be careful, you begin then to disobey the Word of God, and then you begin to substitute it. We talked about this, but you begin to substitute the Bible for traditions, other things. You come up with a better plan. I know God says it here, but I don't think He really means that. This goes on constantly. I hear it all of the time. Oh, I know, but you know, God didn't really mean that. Well, did he mean John 3:16? Do you suppose he meant the rest of the book too? Well, I know he did. He meant every single word that's in it. And we've got to get off of this thing of only picking those things that we would like to listen to, like to mind, and those that we don't, we just kind of shove them aside and forget them. We start substituting our own little traditions and ideas of what should be done for the Bible, the Word of God. Now you say, Brother Ross, well, what do we do if we're in this condition? What do we do? What do we do as a people? What do we do as an individual? What do we do as a church? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We turn back to God. We turn back to the Bible. Let me show you what happened here in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 2. Josiah come on the scene, and the Bible tells us that he began to reign, and it says in verse number 2, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. I'll tell you what we do. We do like Josiah did. We go back and we begin to walk in right in the sight of the Lord in everything in our life. Whatever God says, whatever He tells us to do, we begin to do those things that are proper in the eyes of the Lord. He said he walked in the ways of David, his father. He turned not aside, the Bible says. He said, to the right hand or to the left. No, he just kept right on. Just kept right on. What on? The Bible, the Word of God. What was right according to the Lord. So again, I'm saying to you, you wanna turn that thing around? You wanna instead of walking contrary to the Word of God, you wanna turn that around? Get back to the Bible, the Word of God. The Bible says what he done is he humbled himself. He just humbled himself before God and said, you know what, God, we've been wrong. And the Bible even says he wept before the Lord. Again, I'm saying to you, do you really want to turn it around? Do you really want to go right? You want to do right? God says he'll humble ourselves before God and weep before the Lord and turn our hearts unto him, you see. You remember something. God did not turn from us. We turned from him. God didn't leave us. We left him. So I'm saying as a people, what should we do? Well, we ought to do like the eunuch did. What do you like the eunuch did is he was sitting in a chariot searching, reading the book of Isaiah. He was searching for truth. He wanted to know. That's what we need to do. We need to get back in our Bibles and begin to search the Bible for the truth, not depending upon man and all of their ideas, but find out what God says in His Word about the matter. That's what the eunuch did. He Philip came along and helped him, read to him, helped explain it, but he was looking in the right place. He was looking in the Bible, the Word of God, to find out who truly was the true Messiah. And Philip come along and preached to him the Word of God, and he got saved. So I'm saying to you again, what do we need to do? If you want to find the Word of God again, turn back to God. Search the Bible. Search the Word of God. Now let me show you, in closing, what happens when that happens. What happens when we turn back to God and we realize we need to do this, what will happen in your life? Let me show you in 2 Kings, 22nd chapter of 2 Kings, the 11th verse. He says, and it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. I just say to you, and I read verse 19, you notice it said there in verse 19 that his heart was tender, he was humble before the Lord. I'll tell you what will happen when you truly turn back to God. You'll find out just what kind of condition we truly are in. And there'll be repentance come into our life. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 23. He says, and the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. You see, what will happen when we truly turn back to God, there will be repentance in our heart and life. And this king saw the mistake that Israel had made. And he wanted the Word of God read before the people. And he made a covenant for him and the people. They went to the house of God, and he made a covenant there for Israel. And it says they stood to that covenant. I want to challenge moms and dads in this place today to make a new covenant with God. And to say, you know, we have not been everything we ought to be, but from this day on, we're going to serve God.
We're going to walk with God. We're going to put away these things that's been not right in our life. And we're going to be a faithful people. And we're going to love the book. And we're going to get it as the guide of our life. I challenge you, as moms and dads do that, I challenge you as teenagers and young people today to do that very same thing. To make a covenant with your wonderful God. And let us get back to where we ought to be in believing the Bible, the Word of God. And I say to you again today, folks, this is God's Word. It is the Bible. It's God's Word. Let's quit throwing it out. Let's quit hiding it under everything under the sun. And let's get it back on top. And let's open it up in our homes. And let's say, this is God's Word. We make a covenant with our God instead of following the traditions of men, the ways and the desires of man. I say to you this morning, challenge you. Please let God rule your life. Let the Bible be the guide for your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness. And I thank you so much for that day when the Bible became real to me. And Lord, I understood it as your Word and understood that what you said about salvation and what you said about Christian living and all of those things. Thank you for that day. And Father, it's so easy sometimes to see that old book get covered up. Lord, it gets lost as it did in the days of Josiah. But, oh, Father, help us to find it again and believe it and put our trust and faith in it, knowing, God, that you're the author of it. So I just ask you to use it this morning. And, Lord, that hearts will be changed. Lord, if there's any here without Christ, God, they'll be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.